do you know?
What do you know about Washington State legislative districts? Do you know what your legislative district is? And do you know what a PCO is? Well, you are about to find out when we speak with Liz Scott, who is a PCO.
This is Louisa Beal with Radio Tacoma, and I'm here with Liz Scott, who is a PCO. And we're going to find out just what a PCO is. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
So thank you for being here. And so a lot of people don't know what a PCO is. It's not a medication. I mean, that's the first thing I would think about. But I know you're not a medication. So what is a PCO?
It's a precinct committee officer, and each party, you know, the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, have their legislative districts, and within those legislative districts are precincts. There are groupings of addresses geographically throughout the district. And so the precinct committee officer, say I'm in the Democratic Party, is elected and sometimes appointed by the chairman of the Democratic local district or legislative district. And we serve that group that is our precinct. So I think a lot of the precincts maybe have a couple of hundred addresses in them. We identify the Democrats in that area as well as all of the people in the precinct. And we door knock to meet with them and find out what their issues are, what they would like to see done. And we convey that information back to our legislative district.
Wow, that's a plateful.
It is.
So you really are a representative of the legislative district to the public.
Yes. And we also are then during election season involved in going to, you know, primarily whichever our party is. So leaning Democrats, strong Democrats, and letting them know who our group has endorsed. And again, finding out what their interests are and encouraging it, mainly encouraging them to vote and to get everyone in their household to vote and register.
Okay. So let me back up a little bit, because I just want to get clear that the Washington State legislature as a whole has a House and a Senate. And so each legislative district, two representatives to the state House, one representative to the state Senate.
Correct.
Okay. I'm gonna get that straight. So I don't know how many legislative districts for that have these three representatives, but what you're saying is that within each legislative district, there are as many precincts as there are needed. I don't know if there's the same number for each district, but what I do know is that both you and I are of the 28th legislative district.
Right.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Okay. So it's important for people to know which legislative district they're in and who their representatives are, and also who their PCO is, because connecting with people is the way that we get things going forward.
Right.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about your specific duties as a precinct committee officer.
Well, and I was thinking as you were talking before, when we had the Democratic caucuses, the PCOs took even a greater role because they were the ones who got people to come to the caucus and who organized within their precinct and carried out the vote within the precinct of who was going to vote, of who was going to be the Democratic nominee for president. So that role has kind of gone away because we don't have that same kind of a caucus that we had a few years ago.
Do you think that change was a good idea? Because I know I participated in a few caucuses, and you know, how many people showed up out of the whole district? It's, you know, it was hard for me to tell.
I don't. While there were good things about the caucus, it brought people together, talking about issues and really hearing each other. It was not representative of the whole area. I don't think it put the people in the primary that were never necessarily representative of all the voters in that precinct or that district. So, yeah. So I think it is. I know when I was a younger parent, single parent, I couldn't attend caucuses. I, you know, had my kids to take care of. So it left a whole lot of people out, people that worked jobs that didn't allow them to be there, parents without, you know, adequate babysitters or single parents. So, yeah.
Right. So that's an improvement. So now there's a greater opportunity for people to state their opinion by casting their vote in the primaries.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and the primaries are coming right up. Is it still, because at one point we had where you had to pick your party. Do you still need to do that?
No, the only time we pick our party is for the presidential primary, which was back in, was it March or February? Mm-hmm. In order to vote in that presidential primary, we had to pick either Democrat or Republican. I'm not sure about independents, if they could pick and vote for an independent candidate, but definitely Democrat or Republican. And then that information goes away. It's not retained in the records. And then for this primary, we aren't voting for president, I don't believe, in this primary, but I don't know how that works. But for this primary, you can vote for any party. You don't have to declare yourself as a Democrat or a Republican or an independent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for the general election in November.
Right, right. So the primary is, I'm trying to think, August 6th?
August 6th. Ballot pamphlets will come out the 19th. And then our pamphlets will come out the 12th and ballots will come out the 19th, I believe.
Okay. So the pamphlet is the voter's pamphlet. So that to me is I love to read, and I read everything about my candidates and some of the other candidates. And it's really interesting. It's fascinating reading because you get a feel for the person by what they say, how they say it, and what they don't say. I mean, I went through one, and just the spelling errors to me indicates that they do not have an attention to detail. So that's one thing. Okay. So if they have a candidate statement that's filled with spelling and grammar areas, you know, I kind of take a shade of the lie at that. And also, you know, what they say, are they talking in specifics, or are they just talking about, you know, well, I believe freedom, you know? It's like, well, what does that mean? What does that mean as a constituent? So I highly recommend people at least read the candidate statements for the ones they'll be voted.
I agree. And also one of the things I look at is I look to see who's endorsing them, because sometimes I may not know that much about the candidate, but I may know have information about who's endorsing them. And that is a piece of information that's helpful for me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, because that really is, you know, it's who you know, and sometimes, you know, that can make a big difference. And one of the things that I think is interesting, too, is that sometimes they have endorsements they have endorsements from a group. And then you have to go, well, I've never heard of this group. What is this group? You know, right. They created just for this primary season. So that's a good point, you know, looking and reading and taking all that information in is certainly the first step towards getting information on who you're going to vote for.
Yeah, and something people need to also keep in mind is there's no fact-checking that goes into those. Nobody is fact-checking them when they create those write-ups for the pamphlet. You should do some research in addition to whatever you see in the pamphlet, because there have been people who have said made false statements, for instance, but there's nobody who fact checks it. So it's a good idea to kind of check it out yourself.
Oh, that's an excellent point. I mean, you know, you can say, you know, like, well, I've got a degree from Harvard and I've been working as a lawyer from the past 30 years in government, you know, and it's like, who's to say, except the voter, you know, the informed voter.
Right.
And there's information everywhere. You know, it kind of worries me when people just take face value at just snippets from the headlines and, you know, social media, you know, yeah. And without really understanding what this candidate is about.
Yeah, that's one thing is the finding out, like, organizations like Indivisible that endorse candidates go beyond just that first, you know, what's on their bio. They interview them. We ask hard questions. And the Dems do as well. The LD28 has endorsed candidates, and they, again, interview the candidate, have a questionnaire, do some research. And so there are other places to get information that where people have gone deeper into the issue than just what's on the voter pamphlet.
That's very good information. And the other thing that I would like to talk about before we sign off here is, how do people get involved? Yeah, because, you know, there's several, you know, certainly getting involved with your legislative district. How do they get involved with their legislative district? And how do they get involved with some local organizations in order to take action in those districts?
With their legislative district, whether it's the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, they can go online, Google, and search to find the webpage for their legislative district. And there's places there that guide you in how to get involved in terms of going to meetings, donating, and endorsement. So that's, and also to apply to be a PCO. So that's one way. Another way, like you said, is to find organizations that you support. So Indivisible is one. Indivisible has a webpage, Indivisible Tacoma. There's Indivisibles throughout the state and country. That's one place. And if you go to our webpage, again, there's way information on how to get involved. Organizations like Planned Parenthood, Sierra Club, Moms Against Gun Violence, they all have web pages and they all support different candidates and have ways you can get involved locally in the issues. Also at a lot of events like the Summerfest in Lakewood, the Steilacoom 4th of July Parade, different organizations have booths with information, and they're always looking for volunteers or how to help people find a way to be involved.
Great. Well, that's really good information. So is there anything you'd like to say before we close?
Just what you've been promoting, that people should really try to be involved and definitely vote in the primary and in the general election, and really urge all your friends and families to vote. That's the most key thing that people can do, is to vote, and urge everyone you know to vote.
Yep. Yep.
And if you're not sure what precinct you're in, if you're not sure what your legislative district is or who your elected officials are, you can go to votewa.gov and type in your name, look up your name, and it will bring up, first, make sure that you're registered and your address is correct so that you get your ballot in the mail. And then also you can find out who all your elected officials are, so you know what races you're going to be able to vote for in the election, because this year the ballot is going to be huge, very long. I think there's, what, 20 or 30 people running for governor alone? So knowing in advance which candidates or elections you actually can vote in is helpful when you're going through the pamphlet and through the ballot.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Liz. This has been good.
Thank you, Louisa. I appreciate all you're doing.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
I am a voter.
I am a voter.
I will vote.
I will vote.
Even in an off-year election.